Thanks for joining the podcast with Tamara Gondor. Conversations with everyday innovators that reject status quo, think differently, and make a positive difference in their world. Listen in so you can ignite innovation, influence others, and make an impact too. And now your host, CrossFit addict, knee-high sock lover, and according to her kids, average cook, Tamara Gondor.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another what is going to be incredible episode on our podcast today. I am your host, Tamara Gondor, and yes, today I have raspy, sexy voice because I woke up in the morning and my voice was kind of gone. But I didn't want that to stop us from interviewing these amazing everyday innovators out there, so that we're going to do. I'm excited about today's guest for a couple of reasons, but one is Sergio, who you'll meet in a minute, was actually introduced to me through someone that I know who said, oh my gosh, you got to meet this guy. The way he tackles his business is just different than everybody else. I think it's exactly what you're looking for. So I knew right then and there he was the guy. And then as I started to stalk him a little bit, I started to see a lot of innovative thinking in how he approaches his business, his customers, his marketing, how he lives his life. So this is going to be a great conversation. Sergio, thank you so much for joining me. Tell everybody a little bit about you and the business that you're in.
Yeah, my name is Sergio Nazaro, and I am a realtor, just like about a million other people in this country. And I'm in Denver, Colorado.
You just said, though, like a million other people, and that caught my attention. One of the things I think you do really differentiate yourself, so I kind of wanted to dig into that. Before we dig in, though, let me just tell everyone about your innovation style, because I think we're going to hear it through them. I want people to pay attention to it. So you're an inquisitive instinctual. And what that means, inquisitive side is all about innovating by questions and digging deep, challenging assumptions, challenging the norms. You innovate in the questions, not the answers. And then the instinctual side is all about that circuitous A to B to L to X, like pulling it together to see patterns and insight the rest of us don't see because we're going A to B to C. So I'm excited to hear that. And for listeners out there watching live later, listening on the podcast, just pay attention to how Sergio talks because I think you're going to hear it. So Sergio, tell us, what's the biggest challenge you faced and how did you overcome?
You know, I served in the military for about 11 years and I had the opportunity to deploy to Afghanistan. And coming back from that deployment, nobody really prepares you on what's going to happen next. And I was getting out of the military and I was going to go find a job. And unfortunately, I just was not equipped to do that. And I also didn't really know how to face some of the issues that I was presented with in PTSD and those types of issues, right? And so inevitably turned to drugs and alcohol for a little while. That was tough. And then I decided to go seek some help. And it was in getting that help that I started to discover and figure out who I was as an individual, what I was made of, what I was able to overcome. And so you go through this little bit of an identity crisis getting out of the military before you can kind of get your feet on the ground. And that's a common theme, not for everybody, but it was for me. And so being able to overcome that and step into to the new version of myself and recreate myself as an entrepreneur, just like all the entrepreneurs that have came before me, and my grandfather and my dad, being able to get my feet back on the ground, develop some foundational skills in myself, getting to know myself was probably the hardest thing that I had to overcome, but it taught me the true meaning of being able to handle different types of stress and being able to innovate and recreate when you need to, because the environment had changed so much. And that was definitely one of the hardest moments of my life, but it has reaped so many rewards in my career and in the way I live my life.
I have so many questions for you. Okay, I want to go back for a second. I really appreciate the honesty and the realness behind the story, because I think sometimes we see people and their success and we forget all the mud that, like, you know, ourselves out of. And you know, you talked a little bit about your rock bottom. I think all of our rock bottoms can look very different, right? It can be not being able to pay your bill and really stifled at work. It can be drugs and alcohol, like a lot of things. How did you, in that moment, the courage or the drive to take action, because I think a lot of us get stuck in that place. We just don't know what to do to even get out of that mud just a little bit to be able to see what's possible.
Yeah. You know, at some point you get sick of your own shit. And
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. And it really was that, right? Like, inevitably I got tired of just like not living up to my potential. Like, there has to be more. Whatever I'm doing right now, there has to be some type of lifestyle that I know that I'm capable of doing. And so I just started to try to, you know, read a little bit in some type of personal development, personal growth. It was just taking that first step of like, all right, whatever I'm doing now obviously isn't working. What else can I do? Yeah. And so I picked up, you know, I picked up a book and I decided that I was going to try to practice meditation, both things that I never enjoyed doing before. And it was just taking that small step, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to try this to see if it fits. And I got lucky and it did. But it was really just, okay, let me just find one thing that I know has some type of benefit and let me see if it can benefit me. And it was, it wasn't anything like this drastic change in my life. It was just one small step to find some level of like, all right, if that person can do it, I can do it. And that was the second piece, is like, I looked at my friends who had separated from the military. I looked at other people who were having similar issues, who had faced similar adversities. And then I just tried to benchmark myself, not compare, but benchmark to figure out what they had done and then pull some things from that.
So that's really great advice. And I love the idea of just like one small step. And even if the meditation hadn't worked for you, I have to imagine there's confidence in actually just taking action and doing something, anything different. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, by the way, and actually, let me just say this real quick, because someone just said, they just quoted you. This is so great. By the way, if you're out there and you're listening live, you can ask questions, get to as many as I can. But someone just quoted your, I got to talk to my own potential. Yeah, I totally relate with that. I will tell you, anytime I've made a major change in my life, it's because I've been like, oh my God, this cannot continue. Like, whatever it is, like, this is ridiculous. But you have to almost hit that tipping point, you know?
The truth is, right, when I realized that I wasn't living up to my potential, I promised myself that I was going to stop negotiating with myself and just make a commitment. Our feelings are so fleeting. Like, I don't feel like working out. I don't feel like eating healthy. I don't feel like doing this, right? Like, those change so frequently.
Yeah.
But when we have some principles that back that, right, our principles never lie. Our principles don't fail us. And so it was really one of those things that I made a commitment that I was going to, at the time, read every day and meditate every day for 30 days. And if at the end of that 30 days, it didn't serve me or I didn't want to do it, then I would stop and look for something else. But I had committed to myself. And it was in that commitment that in the morning when I woke up, there was no negotiation to be like, oh, am I going to do this or am I not going to do this?
Right.
No, I made the commitment to myself.
I love that. I love the idea of not stop negotiating with yourself. The other thing I wanted to ask you about is, you said when you got out, I think you're referring to get out of the military, but tell me if I'm wrong, that the environment had drastically, and that you had to figure out how to reinvent yourself or recreate yourself to match the environment you're in. And I think right now, coming out of 2020 and all the shitstorm, 2 years now, the environment has a lot of people. And whether that's the work, the competition, how they have to think about the relevancy that they have in their work, the skills that they have. So I think that's a lot of us are in. How did you do that? How did you go about recreating yourself when, like, you're here? Like, I have it in my head, the visual. You're here, but the environment's over here.
There's things that we can do on our own. And I think we can do pretty much any of those things on our own. It may just take a little bit longer, or it may take a lot of failures. And so when I got out and I decided I want to become a real estate agent, I got a coach. And I got a coach that I knew could lead me from where I was at to where I thought I wanted to go. But inevitably, he knew that I could go way past that. And so having somebody that could identify my blind spots, that could help give me kind of like a map and guide me along the way, not give me the answers, but give me kind of the general direction, that was super helpful.
I, you know, it's so interesting to me that there's, in all the interviews I do, there's really a theme about getting coaching, getting advice, not listening to everybody per se, but making sure that you're not like stuck in your head trying to do it on your own. I think that's so powerful to realize that you don't have to do it on your own.
No, we don't have to know everything. I think that's one of the hardest parts, right? Like, you know, I, at one point in my life, I had a very, very big ego, right? I mean, I was the cream of the crop, go to the Air Force Academy, you name it. Like, I was hot shit. And like,
I love it.
Right. And that's just the truth. And so when you get out of the military and I was like, oh, I can handle this on my own. I'm strong enough. Right. Like, I don't need that therapist or whatever. It's like, at some point, either the universe is going to give you the opportunity to listen and realize that you're needed, going to go find somebody to help you navigate that, or it's going to kick you down so hard that you're going to have to face it yourself. And when I was able to kind of let go of, hey, I don't know everything, that pattern, getting rid of that pattern, has allowed me to open myself up to learning from everybody in every conversation I'm in. But more importantly, I realized I don't have to do this on my own because there are people who have already been here. Let them pull me and guide me through and get me to the spot that I can be at, where I know I can live up to my potential.
You're listening to Conversations with Everyday Innovators on With Tamara Gondor Podcast. Let's take a moment to thank our generous partners that make this possible.
Can't wait to share this product with you. It's made a huge difference in my household. It's Howdy Puppy, the premier CBD pet treats for dogs. Now, for those of you who know me, you know I have a 100-pound Mastiff named Zoe Bear, and she is a cuddle bun, but she's 10 years old. And she suffers from two things. First, from the aches and pains of old age. We go for these long walks that she loves, but afterwards she's got joint stiffness and it's hard for her to get up off the floor. And she suffers from a little bit of anxiety. She doesn't love new people. So when you come over to my house, she tends to bark. She gets really anxious. She gets very riled up. So I started giving her CBD pet treats. And guess what? It has helped tremendously with both. Now her aches seem to be a little bit better. She doesn't have as hard of a time getting up off the floor. She recovers faster from our walks. And when people come over, she's less riled up. She's able to handle it better. CBD has been proven to help with aches of old age, joint stiffness, nightmares, anxiety, separation anxiety, stress, hyperactivity. I really encourage you to go check out the website. And here's the best part. It comes in three flavors, steak, bacon, and cheese wraps. And the steak look like steaks, and the bacon look like bacon. And yeah, the cheese wraps look like cheese wraps. So it's so much fun to give it to them. I'm giving Zoe a little bit of steak or a little bit of bacon or cheese every day. It's so great. She loves them. I love what it does for her. It's a win-win. And hey, if you're new to CBD pet treats like I was, I encourage you to go check out the website, because on there they have blogs that talk about the efficacy and the safety of it. This product is great. It is USA grown, USA processed and produced. It is non-GMO. The list goes on and on. But go to the website and check it out. And if you've got a dog that suffers from those aches and stiffness or anxiety or hyperactivity, this might be the product for you. Howdy Puppy. I will put the link in the show notes. And in full disclosure, I love it so much that I am a founding investor and partner. So good. Howdy Puppy.
Well, you know, the other thing you said that I think is so important is, you know, you said failing a lot. I think failure, so none of it, I don't love failure. Like there's nothing about that I'm like, yes, for the process. Like I don't, I know we're supposed to love our failures, but I don't feel that way. I don't want to fail. I'm not looking to fail, but I know that failure is part of the process and it's just going to get me to the next step. So I don't like it. And it's actually my dislike that keeps me going, not my love of it. But what you said, I think really matters, that failure happens, right? And you have to kind of expect to have a lot of them. And I think the reason we stop when we fail is because expectation of it. We're like, wait, what? We failed? Well, we're done now. Where I think if you go into it going, all right, not everything's going to work and that's okay. You it's easier to plow through. What do you think about that?
I like to use analogies. I think a lot about quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Like very few quarterbacks have never thrown an interception. Very few. If any, I'm sure there's probably zero. And so they make that failure, they forget about it, they learn from it, and they move on. And it's just a point in time. It's not good, it's not bad, it just is. And it's our responsibility to learn from it so that we don't repeat it. And so failure, yeah, it sucks and it can kick you down. But if you are just open to the lesson that's within that, right, I think it's good. And I think the other part too is if you're not failing, you're not actually in the arena of life. You're just sitting in the stands. And so at that point, it's like, well, what are we doing here? You know, what's the point in that?
Yeah. Well, that's the whole man in the, like, you got to be in there doing it. So I just want to remind everybody who's watching and then listening later. One is, if you're listening live, feel free to put your questions for Sergio in the chat bar and I will go to them and get as many as I can. I love it when we get audience questions. Number two, sometimes people text them to me too, so I might have to look at my phone. The second thing is, again, I'm just going to tell you, I don't normally sound this like Betty Davis eyes with my voice, but I woke up no voice this morning, so here we are. So fortunately, Sergio gets to do most of the talking, which I'm happy about. So I want to flip it, and I want to ask you, what are you most proud of, or kind of some of your biggest wins in life?
What I love is that, you know, the story I shared with you about being in the military.
Yeah.
And with the story I'm about to share have become my superpowers, right? The reason I got into real estate, one of the reasons I got to become a real estate agent is that when I was younger, my parents had some bad advice from a real estate agent. Inevitably, it led to them losing their jobs, being homeless, and that's how we moved to Colorado. And what I love and what I think is one of my biggest resources to myself is I can take these stories and turn them into a positive narrative for myself. Like the story I just shared with you about what happened to my family is my big why in real estate. That's why I enjoy doing what I do. That's one of my biggest things. And that's one of my, to your question, that's one of the biggest things that has allowed me to innovate, right? Like I am, that why has, is my fuel to be the best real estate agent I can be because I refuse to let that happen to somebody else. And so my superpower in that is taking those narratives that can easily be, have me have a victim mentality and use those to my benefit.
I just want to take a pause for everybody listening and really pay attention to and actually ask the question of what narratives in your life are you holding on to as a victim when they could be actually your superpower? Because Sergio, that's what I heard you say. I think that's really cool. I mean, we all have life experiences that can either happen to us or for us, but we have to decide which one they're going to do, right? Not the world, not everybody else. So I really like that. So I'm curious because you said what allows me to innovate. So when I put up the picture of the event for this, I put, you know, how to differentiate yourself in a, I think I put crowded and commoditized marketplace. And I thought, well, I should probably tell Sergio I'm going to use the word commoditized, but talked to you before. And the reason I put that in there, speaking from the other side, and you know this, it's not a surprise to you, is the real estate market is challenging for a lot of people. You said it, there's a million rooms just in Colorado alone. Anyone can get into the game, right? If you just get certified, you're good, but you can. And I think oftentimes us as buyers and sellers think we can do it all because we have some technology behind us and some information, right? So then we look and we go, well, what does a realtor do? But one of the things that I've seen you do despite all that is really differentiate yourself and really prove that, like, hey, I'm out here providing incredible value. And you just said I innovate across my, you know, my business. How do you do that?
I feel very grateful to be a part of a brokerage that allows us to be modern brokers in a modern market. Like this market has evolved so fast and so quickly. Any home buyer can tell you like it's frustrating, and any home seller is going to tell you we don't need you, right? Because we could do it on our own. And the truth is, most of them can. However, my responsibility as an agent, my commitment to my clients is to provide you with different solutions that may align with this current season of life you're in. So the example I give is for home sellers. When we sit down and talk to them, when I sit down and talk to them, I provide them with options. There's multiple ways to sell your home, right? But maybe you are in a situation where you just need to get out as fast as possible and you don't want to do showings or anything like that. Well, I can present to you a solution for that. Maybe you want to, your goal is to go find a new home, right? And then sell your home, right? One of the biggest fears and the reason we're in this housing shortage is people are afraid to sell their home because they don't want to end up without a home and just living somewhere else. Well, we have a solution for that. We can actually go out and buy your home and you can move in and then we'll come sell your home so that you can secure your new home before you sell it. And I think just having these innovative tools, right, that allows me to be a modern broker in a modern market is very helpful to sellers and to buyers because we can also have buyers become cash buyers instantly. And a lot of people offer that, but the way we do it is in-house and it's really, really quick. And I think just having those tools at your disposal, you don't have to use them, but just knowing that you have options, that's my job. My job is to provide information and educate you. and give you everything that you need to make the most educated decision for you and your family based on where you are and where you want to go.
So you had, let me make sure I get this phrase right. Like a modern agent in a modern world, something similar to that, right?
Yeah. So,
something like that. Well, I'm listening so intently that sometimes I lose the actual phrase, but I have the thought in my head of like what I wanted to ask you about. So tell me a little bit more about that, because I think in so many industries, the world has moved on. And there's this modern world where we're thinking past. It's so easy to think about past successes, past things that worked, past ways of doing things. How do you think about and how do you stay up and stay modern?
We come back to that, you know, the person in the arena, you know, it's really getting out there and making sure that I'm sharpening my tool, right, my skill set, by doing the work. So this market evolves so quickly. So as a home buyer, I have to stay in tune with what's going on. That's conversations with other agents. That's working with a coach. That is me doing the work myself, right? That's a continuous sword that I'm trying to sharpen. The other way that we can be innovative, and your question just completely left my head. My train just stopped. Remind me what it was. I'm so sorry.
Oh, about how do you stay modern? Like the world,
how do you stay modern?
Well, how do you stay that way?
Yeah,
I see we're both right, and when the picture goes, yeah.
You know, it's exploring the options that I just mentioned to you. It's being part of an organization that is on the forefront of not only technology but of innovating to make the experience very world-class for our clients. And we do that by going out and looking at potential solutions for clients, vetting them, seeing if they actually work, talking through them, identifying the pitfalls of those. And if it doesn't work, we scrap it. But if it becomes a relevant option, we become subject matter experts in that. And then we can use that to make it a better experience for our clients. So the example that I would like to use is we have a bridge program. You can buy before you sell. That reduces a lot of stress for people, right? You don't have to move twice. You don't have to run into the issue of not being able to identify or get into a new home, right? That alleviates a lot of stress for people. And if we can do that and make this a better experience for those clients, everybody's happy. And so we do that by doing a lot of work behind the scenes and trying to identify these solutions. They may not be in the forefront of everybody's mind.
So I want to ask you another question on this and really understanding this. So what I'm hearing you say is that you're really in tune with some of the concerns, challenges, worries that your customer has. So, because as you were saying that, I was like, oh yeah, that was one of my concerns last time I sold was, what if I don't have time and I'm stuck somewhere, you know? So like, I don't want that. So how do you listen to your customers? How do you make sure that you are paying attention to what is keeping them up at night?
Well, one, I recently went through the experience myself, and I think having that fresh experience in my mind has definitely helped a ton. But more importantly, this isn't a transaction business. This is a relationship business. And so when we sit down for a consultation, whether that's on the sales side or the buy side, I need to understand everything about them, like what their fears are, you know, what their goals are, what their dreams are. And it's not just about this current transaction that we're in. This, in my opinion, is I'm their real estate advisor for life. So I need to understand like what they want to do over the next 10, 15, 20 years. And when I can start to kind of ask those questions and hear their response and see how they interact together, I can put together a plan that is more aligned with what they want versus just buying and selling a home. Because it's not just buying and selling a house. There are so many other parts in that. And so being able to just listen to them and what they want is huge.
So I have a really odd question for you, and I don't mean to throw other people under the bus, but as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, of course. And I think sometimes the best innovation or what helps you stand out is the stuff that's like, obviously. But my question is, why then do more people in your business not act that way?
Yeah, no, I'll keep it real on this one. The barrier to entry into this industry is really low.
Yeah.
And the requirements for anybody to sell a home, right? Like this is not a hard process. It's not hard. Let me rephrase that. It's simple, but it is hard. It's hard because there are so many moving components. It's hard because you know, there are part-time agents out there who can make it really difficult for other people. There are people who out there who think they can just step into this industry, sell a home, and just make this career because all we're doing is opening doors, writing contracts, and collecting a paycheck. And it's because of that that we have a lot of people who come into this industry that aren't making this a full-time job. And there are plenty of great part-time agents out there. I know that. But what my issue is with this being the biggest decision, the biggest investment that an individual or a family can make, you need to treat it like that. It's no different than having a doctor who performs surgery or a lawyer who's going to take on a case. You want somebody who has the time under their belt, they have the skill set that you need, and that can only come with time and dedication to your craft. The way I look at this is it's my responsibility to be the best agent I can so that I can serve my clients in the capacity they need. I take this very seriously because I understand the magnitude of it because I experienced it. Watching my mom console my dad when he made a decision and we ended up in the situation we were in was really tough. Okay, I remember that. And like that does not fall short on me. A lot of people don't have that experience. So they just step into this thinking it's going to be an easy paycheck, and it's one of the hardest jobs that I've had. And I think that falls short on a lot of people who want to become agents.
Yeah, I'm just going to say yes and yes to everything you just said. And I think there's several industries like that. You know, I do a lot of keynote speaking. Speaking is kind of the same way. Like anyone could decide to be a speaker. Only a few are really good enough to deserve, in my opinion, the stage. I think it's hard. So I got a question in that I want to ask you because I think it's an interesting one from the audience. And it's she asks, hold on, I got to put my glasses on because I'm getting old. She wants to know, she says, I'm actually with a lot of commodity players. How do you keep up the energy and the marketing to let people know you're different than all the rest? Oh, interesting. So kind of like one is energy to like keep elevating yourself from everybody. And the other question is, how do you elevate yourself so your customers or people, colleagues know that you're different? You're not like those people we were just.
I'm authentically me. Yeah, that is a phenomenal question. I am me, right? Like the person that you're experiencing is going to be very similar to the one that my friends experience and the one that my family experiences. Like I'm just me. And I think like it gets exhausting to be anything but that. And so I don't believe I have any competition out there. I don't. I'm the only competition I'm in is with myself. And so as long as I can control my skill sets and what I'm doing, and I'm continuously trying to be better, I will be better. And that motivates me, right? Like I believe that my why and why I'm here on this earth is to lead, whether that's lead people to a decision in real estate or lead people that are in my ecosystem by living the life that I'm inspired to live. And so that in and of itself gives me enough energy to market myself and to differentiate myself by working on my skill set. Another reason that I maintain that energy for marketing is when I sit down with you to what you want to do, buying, selling, or home, I don't want to have to talk about me. I want to market myself well enough that you've looked at my social media pages and you've been like, I like this guy. I want to sit and talk with him. That way, when we sit down, I'm not trying to sell you me. I'm trying to listen to what you want. And I think that allows for a better experience for both sides. And that's why I dedicate so much time into building myself or my personal brand, because I want to weed people out that don't want to work with me. There's a lot of people telling me no, I just don't know they're telling me no. But the people who say yes have already made that decision, and now it's my responsibility to make sure that this is about them and not me. And so that's why I'm energized and I have the capacity to continue to market myself in the way that I do.
So it's so interesting you said, because there's two things I want to highlight. One is that's how I feel about these podcasts. I kind of feel like it's my job to ask questions to you, but to highlight, I want you to talk. I'm just here to guide that conversation. Right, that's my job here, and I love it. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know who I am, right? You don't need to know about me. You need to know about Sergio. So I love that. But there are two things also I just want to highlight, Sergio, that you said, which is so great. One is you said I'm only in competition with myself. The other one you said is like in those meetings that you have, you're listening. Great innovation and great innovators do that. They're not competing with other people. They're not mimicking that little space of crowded and cluttered. It's just it's crowded. Right? Why would you be there with other people when you could do your own thing? That the listening is, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. There's great room to understand how to solve people's problems and come up with innovative ideas if you're not the one talking.
I mean, it's true. How can you innovate if you don't know what the problem is?
Right.
How can I come up with a solution that's needed if I don't understand where you're at?
Yeah.
You know?
And even if you don't have a problem to solve, if you're trying to go into the future in some way, if, like, I know this is, you can't do that unless you hear about things and what their lives are like or work or whatever it is. Okay. Oh gosh, we're almost out of time. So I got to get to my logo.
Okay.
One is, what advice for other everyday innovators out there looking to do what you've done and really elevate their game? And I love how that woman said, keep the energy up and differentiate themselves in this very crowded, commoditized world that a lot of us are in.
You need to figure out what your North Star is. Like, why are you doing this? You know, are you motivated by money? Are you motivated by impact? Are you motivated by building something? Whatever that is, figure out what that North Star is. Create a really deep, intimate relationship with that, and just know that if it doesn't excite you, that it's not big enough. And that is an iterative process, and that can change depending on the season of life you're in. But I think having that North Star and knowing what that is, and it should be very audacious, should give you enough energy because it lights the fire inside of you every single morning.
So what is your North Star? And give us one example of how you've stayed deeply connected to it.
My responsibility is to lead people on this planet in whatever capacity that is, whether that's lead them to a decision in buying and selling a home, or that's leading people through their own shit by sharing my story and being vulnerable. My responsibility is to lead, and I've been put on this earth to do that. And I try to give back to other real estate agents by coaching them, helping them grow their business within our organization, because too many people fail for the wrong reasons. And I easily could have been one of those stories, but I wasn't. And so whatever I did to succeed, I want to share and impart on them and encourage them to do it in their own way. And that's how I've continued to stay energized, just by leading.
So I have to add, you just say so many great things, and I just have one last tangent question, which is,
yeah.
You said something really powerful, which is people fail for the wrong reasons. Just give me some insight by that, or an example around that. I think a lot of us are failing for the wrong reasons.
We have to believe in ourselves. And I think it starts there. It's like, what do you see in yourself, right? Your self-limiting beliefs are going to stop you and prevent you from doing anything in life. And I think it starts, at least for me, with how I feel, the way I look, and the way I can communicate. That's why I work out in the morning. That's why I do those things, because those give me confidence. And so I would encourage people, like, if you are failing, figure out areas in your life where you've succeeded, and there are patterns there. Explore those patterns and see if you can bring them into the areas where maybe you're not living up to your fullest potential, and try to apply those in the same form, in the same fashion. Because listen, we fail because we put a lid on ourselves, and you got to take the fucking lid off. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. Can I follow on?
I'm a sailor. It's all good. What I like about that, and I just want us all to really maybe think about, is where did we blame? The idea wasn't good enough. The environment wasn't right. The timing wasn't right. The people didn't get it. That, when I think maybe what really is the reason we fail, what you're saying, which is we didn't believe it. We didn't actually put our 100% in, so that we couldn't feel like a failure if it didn't work. I think a lot of times we blame the external when it's really in here that something didn't happen.
And to be, I want to be honest, when I first got into this, I wasn't like, I'm going to be great at this, right? Like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be, I'm going to lead. But I did know how to build confidence in myself, because I've done it in the past, and that builds momentum. Creating action builds momentum, and that momentum, it can carry you. And so you don't have to know exactly where you're going, but if you can envision it and just know that that's where you're going to go, the rest is just on you taking the daily actions to produce that.
Momentum is so important. And I think kind of what you're saying, it doesn't have to be the biggest leap you've ever made. Really, sometimes one step at a time that pushes you forward, just pushing you forward. And I think the route is often very circuitous. You have to know that A to B is not a straight line sometimes.
That, very rarely.
Yeah.
Very rarely.
And frankly, that would be boring, right? So it's kind of good. All right, Sergio, my last question for you is, what's one personal thing we'd be surprised to learn about you?
Yeah, this is a really great question. I thought about this a lot in the shower this morning. I think there's two things. They're very they relate to each other. Is I can eat a Chipotle burrito in under a minute.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I could also eat 50 chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A without any problem. So yeah, that's kind of like my secret skills. I don't know if they're ever gonna save my life, but I have them tucked in case I do need them.
Oh my God, that is so funny, because the other day I got wings at Piper's. Do you know Piper's, the bar in the biker bar? Best wings in college. And I went in and it was after work and I was super hungry and I ordered 50 chicken wings and she was like, are you taking these home? I was like, no. I'm gonna eat them. I appreciate it. That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Sergio, thank you so much for joining me. As my colleague who was right, you are full of great insights. And I think what I really appreciate about this episode is being an everyday innovator every single day, and you work hard at making that happen. And I think that shows not just in your own kind of personal life, but how you serve your client, your job, the transparency you're willing to give and sharing your story. So thank you. I think this is one where people are going to want to then go back and listen again and take a lot of notes. So I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Congratulations. By listening to this podcast, you took another step towards becoming an everyday innovator. To leap forward, visit www.gotolaunchstreet.com and take the Innovation Quotient Edge Assessment to discover your unique everyday innovator style and access the Everyday Innovator Digital Magazine for the top tools, insights, and inspiration at your fingertips 24/7. Tamara will be back with another Everyday Innovator conversation soon. In the meantime, if you got a nugget of value out of this podcast, let Tamara know by leaving a 5-star review and comment. Your review equals more guests, more listens, bigger impact. Until next time.